Now, you can be accused of asking leading questions, but the truth is all questions are leading. And that's important to remember. You know, you standing in front of the mirror saying, why am I so stupid? Why am I so ugly? Those questions are leading questions because they will lead you to focus on that. How about you stare at the same mirror and say, what am I good at? What can I do today to make me happy? Who can I be a blessing to? Those are also leading questions. And you're leading your mind, you're leading your focus in the right direction. Welcome to This Is Us podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Hansen, and my wife and I have the honor of serving alongside an amazing team as lead pastors of Hillsong Church in Denmark and Malmö. This podcast is a collection of short episodes regarding life, leadership, and culture. If you haven't done so already, please click follow and subscribe. And as always, if you find this to be valuable, feel free to share it with others. Well, welcome to This Is Us podcast. We are who we are, and we are digging into the toolbox to find tools for every level of leadership. And today is a big one, and I hope that it's helpful, and there's a lot of questions I'm asking, and I'm hoping that they can help you as well as we're answering them together. Because we're slowly coming out of this season called Corona. I know that, you know, we have listeners from all over the world, and so it looks different wherever you are, but it's definitely a different world now than what it was before COVID-19. Not because the needs are suddenly different, but Corona has done something to us all. It's interesting, you know, how the thinking has just changed. In Denmark, where we are based, there was a study out to saying that over a third of people have revalued their lives and just, you know, really just reviewed and said, do I want to do what I want to do? And in Sweden, I heard someone a few weeks ago say there has never been more people moving out of the capital, Stockholm, than there is right now, because people are just going, hey, it's, I don't want to go back to the same. And I find it interesting that when someone goes through a crisis, there is no guarantee how they're going to come out on the other side. Man, I've seen people go through something, you know, like horrible things, and apparently almost come through unscathed. And then you've also seen other people go through stuff and it just threw them way off, you know, whether it's decisions or convictions they threw out the window. And so now when people go through things, go through a crisis or go through like a hard season in life, you know, when I talk to people and talk to leaders or pastors and they go, oh yeah, what, you know, when they come back, we're going to do this and this. I'm always like, you know what? Let's just wait and see. Let's just wait and see how they're going to respond, because there's no guarantee. And Corona, it's a bit like that. And as leaders, you know, whether we are pastors or business leaders, we have the calling and the task of leading people through this. And it can be a challenge. It's an enormous task, because mainly this is untested waters for all of us. And as we're regathering ourselves in our businesses, organizations, and churches, we now have a lot of people who are reconsidering everything, including their involvement with it. Man, the amount of business people I've spoken with just saying, man, the conversations they're now having with their workers, it is so different in terms of nature and what they're talking about than what it used to be. It's no longer just KPIs. It's also, how are you going as an individual? And I just found a lot of people, they're just questioning everything. And so I want to just give a few thoughts today and talk about the answers to questions they give. It's said that a person will ask the most questions in their life when they're 4 years old. I know we have someone in the studio today with a four-year-old, and so he knows what I'm talking about. But a four-year-old, they say, I don't know who they are, but they're smart. They say that a four-year-old will, on average, ask 40,000 questions in that 1 year. 40,000 questions. That's a lot of questions. But as we get older, you know, we're discouraged in asking questions. We're being told that some questions are dumb questions. We parents don't want to answer them. This is not the right time. And ask your teacher. And in general, we're basically just taught by parents, by teachers, by people around us to stop asking questions. And as we get older, you know, we ask less and less questions, because questions makes us vulnerable. But questions are powerful. Think about the power of questions. Questions has the ability to look at status quo and ask, why is it like this? What if there was a better way? How? You know, questions were what makes Edwin Land's daughter, who loved pictures that her father took with the camera. And one day she just asked her dad, why do I have to wait to see the picture? And Land started experimenting to find a solution and finally came up with what is known as the Polaroid camera, What about the question that Joel Gebbia and Brian Chesky, they had when they were flatmates in 2007? And they said, why do we have to stay in an overpriced hotel if we can just offer a room in our place? So they put an inflatable mattress in their apartment in San Francisco, started a webpage, and now it's known as Airbnb. It's the same when we started church here in Denmark. So many made the statement that it wouldn't work and, you know, this was a dumb decision. And we were like, why not? Because questions are powerful. They turn on the light. They stop you in your tracks and they help you reset your mind and your way of thinking. See, Jesus, he asked his disciples in Matthew 16, when he came to the region of Philippi, it says in verse 13 that he asked his disciple, who do people say I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, and still others think you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then he asked them, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? Questions are powerful. But I also think that questions are misunderstood. Because it's interesting, when you look at Jesus' life, Jesus, who's, you know, undoubtedly one of the greatest leaders to have ever lived. I mean, what he did with just a few years on earth to start something that turned the world upside down is incredible. But when he got asked questions, he didn't just always answer the questions. At best, he would offer an answer with a question. Like with the rich young ruler, when he asked, how do I get saved? You know, and Jesus would look, well, you know what the Bible says. How do you read it? Or when the Pharisees came to him in the Gospel of Luke and questioned his authority, he answered them with a question. You see, questions reveal a person's heart. And I think as leaders, we can so often, and humans, we can get caught up in our pride and insecurity that we feel a need to answer all those questions. Let me say something I believe will set some of you free. Everyone has the right to ask questions, but no one can demand an answer. Mic drop. Because anyone can walk off the street or be in our world and come to me with a question about anything, but it doesn't mean I have to answer it. What is it that I should weigh up before answering? I think, first of all, you need to weigh up the nature of the question. Again and again, we hear Jesus say something like, knowing they were trying to trap him, and then he would dodge the question or take it in a different direction. Because the question is, what is the motive behind the question? The second thing you should weigh up is the situation. Will this actually build anything? Is the question asked in a conducive environment? Is this a good place to have this conversation? There is always a time and place. Thirdly, you've got to weigh up the relationship between you and the person asking. There is a different openness whether I'm talking with a stranger or I'm talking to a friend. Then we also just should never accept a question at face value. You see, the moment you start answering a question without challenging it or at least considering it, you're validating both the person and the question. So for example, if we're going to bring it in close, if someone came to me and let's say they asked, hey, at Hillsong, you know, you focus mainly on events and not people. What are your thoughts behind that? You know, if I start answering that, well, then I agree with the hypothesis they're putting out there, which I don't. So what do? We got to question the question. And one tool that I would encourage everyone who is backed in a corner or who is, you know, on the receiving end of a bunch of questions, just slow the conversation down. You know, if you are in a rush and if you are asking questions, if a journalist is asking questions, they're always trying to speed it up. They're trying to speed up the conversation to get that answer out quick. You know, what do you think about this? What do you think about it? Just slow it down. The question is not what are people saying. The question is, who is saying what? Choose your audience. So if I was to answer, I would question the hypothesis. How have they come to that conclusion? Is that their personal experience? Man, there's so much projection going on in the world these days. You know, someone has one feeling projected on five other people. At the end of the day, remember, a question reveals a person's heart, their focus, their priorities, their proximity to you, even how they see that proximity, their understanding of your vision and mission. So next time someone asks you a question, just stop for a moment and consider, what does this question tell me about this person? But questions can be powerful and they can be very useful. a few things that I think questions they do. Number one, questions help you identify your why, your purpose in life, your purpose with your job, your purpose in your health, your relationship. Remember why you first stepped out. Why did you start that church? Why did you get involved? Why did you put your hand up? Why did you start that business? Why did you get married? Why? Remember your why. Number two, questions help you identify your how. You know, as a church, we often say the message is sacred, but the method isn't. My how is my vehicle, my strategy for this season. And I think too many people, they never ask the question of how, and dreams, they remain unfulfilled. It's like, I want to do this. Great, great dream, but how? And am I doing my best to do my how? Number three, questions, they help you identify your what. What is your next step? So you've identified your how. I want to do this. That's great. How are you going to do it? I'm going to do it like this. Fantastic. Now, what is your next step? Not what are you going to do in a year from now. Not what you're going a month from now. No, what is the very next thing that you're going to do that's going to take you in the direction of your dream? What is the next step? Number four, questions help you identify your who. Your who. Man, this is so important. Your who. This is not just about the people next to you. We can get to that in a moment, but also you. Who do you want to be in the process? So you want to build a business. That's amazing. Well, who do you want to be while you're building that business? What version of you do you want to be? Man, I speak to too many people who say, man, when I, you know, have this much money, I'm going to be this generous. When I have this, I'm going to be able to retire young, and then I'm going to see my children, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to have so much time for my wife or so much time for my, you know, whatever, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and all the motives are so good. The challenge is that we take who we are now and we just project ourselves 5 years into the future, and we think we're the same person 5 years from now. We think all our relationships are the same 5 years from now. But if we haven't thought about the process of who I'm becoming in the process of those 5 years, you know, if you're working 22-hour days, if you're working, let's be realistic, if you're working like 18-hour days, right, and you're never seeing your kids, you're never seeing your family, and that's not a priority for you right now, your motive might be so noble that you're going to retire 5 years from now. But you go 5 years where you're working 18-hour days, 7 days a week. By the time you get to 5 years from now, ready to retire and spend time with your kids don't want to know you. So you got to ask yourself, who do you want to be in the process? And that brings us to the whole who of who's in your world. Who gets to see the real you? Who gets to actually question who you are? And can they honestly speak to you about you? This is not just about having an opinion. This is about giving people access into your life. It's inviting feedback. You cannot demand to keep someone else accountable. Accountability is something that is invited in. You know, as parents, we raise our kids, and as followers of Jesus, we're discipling those people around us. As leaders, we are training people. And so when we are leading people and we're training people and discipling people, whatever it is that we're doing, is it to skip the process and just give them the answer that we believe is the truth, the conclusion? No, it's about asking the right questions, because questions are powerful that will help them find the truth for themselves. So we're not just imposing something on them, but there's something growing in them. Man, I've stood with people and about to make bad decisions in life. And I could easily just look at them and go, well, that's dumb, and kind of just impose and project and conclude on their behalf. Instead, I've just looked at them and go, why? Why do you want to do that? And let them come to the conclusion. Remember, a question is a road marker. The answer to a question is limited to the direction of your question. Now, you can be accused of asking leading questions, but the truth is all questions are leading. And that's important to remember. You know, you standing in front of the mirror saying, why am I so stupid? Why am I so ugly? Those questions are leading questions, because they will lead you to focus on that. How about you stare at the same mirror and say, what am I good at? What can I do today to make me happy? Who can I be a blessing to? Those are also leading questions. And you're leading your mind, you're leading your focus in the right direction. For example, when our kids come home from school, you know, our kids are getting close to teenage years, and I can ask the question, how was your day? And any parents, a teenager, you know the answer. The answer is, at best, it's like, it was okay. You know, instead, what about asking, what made you laugh today? What was something that made you happy today? What made you sad today? What made you stop today? See, these questions make them look for something particular. Because questions aren't always to gain knowledge for the one who's asking the questions. We understand this as parents. You know, if one of my children are coming to me to look for something, they're coming to the wrong person. I don't know where anything is in our house. I'll send them to their mother, you know, but then she will answer with a question. She will say, have you looked under your bed? It's a leading question because it's for them to look in the right place for the right thing. So what are your questions? The questions you are being asked, what are they showing you? What are they showing you about the other person? Questions are powerful. Thank you for listening to This Is Us podcast. Whether you listen to them as an individual or as a team, we hope that they add value to you. Make sure to click follow or subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Thank you for joining us. We are who we are. This is us.